Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking, because we've been talking about the gospel, the good news, or what in Greek is called the euangelion, the good news that Jesus came to bring. It was such good news that it changed the disciples forever. It changed their whole attitude. It changed who they were. And so this morning, as we think about what did the gospel do, so often we think about what did it do for you. But this morning, the other aspect or the other side of that coin is to ask, what did it do for us? It changed us as a people. It changed us from a me to a we. And that's a profound thing that we often overlook, that the power of the gospel to change it from just this is about you to this is about us. It's about giftedness. We want to talk this morning about giftedness. We as Americans are consumed with the idea of giftedness, of being unique. I think lately there's been this whole flood of new TV shows on reality TV about how people's lives are different, maybe even a little wacky and a little crazy, but how those people are special. As a matter of fact, there's one whole show that we watch actually quite a bit. It's about gathering all these people from around the country, and they compete to find out who's got the best voice, the best vocals, right? And finally, they find out who is gifted, who has those talents. And sometimes as they audition for the show, some of them are very funny. You know, they're almost comical in the way that they demonstrate their gifts. And finally, they build up, because the focus of the show, or the intention of the show, is that there can be only one winner. And at the end of that show, the winner is called what? An American Idol. I mean, think about that for a minute. We so idolize talent and gifts that we pay incredible amounts of money for those that have special qualities. As a matter of fact, I saw the other day that maybe some of you pay attention to the sports world. You notice that LeBron James has made a move. Did you notice that? Have you read any of that? He's now moving from Miami to Cleveland. And I thought it was interesting when he made that announcement, they unveiled a big banner on the Coliseum in Cleveland. And do you know what it said at the back? You know, there's this big picture of LeBron, and at the very bottom, do you remember what it said? It kind of struck me. The king is back. The king has returned. I thought that was interesting, the imagery that they wanted to go with. As a matter of fact, I don't know what kind of money he's getting. I saw that his partner or his teammate, Chris Bosh, had signed a contract for 5 years for like $125 million. An incredible amount of money to play that, because we so idolize talent. And so oftentimes we even ask the question, do we have any talents? What are we good at? Are we able to compete as an American Idol? How do we compete with that kind? And oftentimes we compete against one another. We compare our gifts. If I were to ask you if you were gifted, or do you feel this morning that you are gifted, most likely what you would want to do is say, compared to what? Compared to what? What am I gifted as? Well, Paul, in the first century, when he was talking to a church that he started, found that that church was breaking up because of their competitive nature, their competitive spirit. That some felt that they had more talent or more worthy than another group, and it was beginning to tear them apart. And so I want us to think this morning, when we think about the power of the gospel, The power of the gospel is to remind us that we are not fractured by our giftedness, but we are drawn together. It pulls us together. And so this morning we want to look at a passage that Paul, that you probably know fairly well, but it's something that Paul uses to draw us together again, to remind us of what the gospel means to us and how powerful it is, not just for your salvation for there and then, but for the here and now. How do we live that out? And so this morning I want us to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the 12th verse. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. Reading from chapter 12, Paul says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, open our hearts and our ears to hear and to receive your message, and let it unite us as one in spirit and in action and in attitude. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Think about it, if you will, with me for a moment. What does it mean to be gifted? What does it mean to be unique? What does it mean to be one of a kind? It does a couple of things, I think. First of all, it means that we tend to be competitive. If I were to ask you, do you feel gifted? You would naturally want to think about, are you compared to other people? How do you compare to other people? And oftentimes when we talk to people about getting involved in the mission or the ministry of the church, very often I will hear things, well, I don't have those gifts. I can't do those kind of things. Because we're competitive. We look at other people and say, why am I not at that place where they are? If you look at the world around you, and we look at celebrities, if we look at American Idol, we compare them to everybody else around them. If you look at how the world defines giftedness, it tends to be very competitive. It also tends to be very individualistic. When we find somebody that is really gifted, we want to elevate them. We want everybody to look at them. It's the celebrity effect. It's the idea that if you are really gifted, then you will be really popular. And so our giftedness is about what we get out of it. Not so with the church. What Paul is talking about, or what Jesus has said, is you are all gifted. What makes the church unique? What makes it different than other areas? First of all, the bottom line that Paul wants to make clear is you are all gifted. How many of you remember Lake Wobegon days from Garrison Keillor? Have you ever heard of that? And at the very beginning, he always has kind of a tagline for "Welcome to Lake Wobegon," where the women are strong, the men are good looking, and all the kids are above average. Think about that. It's kind of humorous because we see kind of how crazy that is. I mean, really? How can everybody be above average? And yet when I heard that, or I heard that this week, I thought about, isn't that what the church is supposed to be? We are all above average. where all of the women are strong, all of the men, or most of them, are good looking, and all of the kids are above average. We all are gifted. We all have been given some gift or some talent with which to share. God has given you a good heart. He's given you a clean spirit to begin again. And hopefully, he's given you a passion to make a difference, to go out into the world and to change the world. You have a gift. The bottom line and the most important thing is, do you accept for yourself that you are gifted? Until we can accept for ourselves that God has done something for us or is doing something in us, we will remain in the pew where you are. When you accept for yourself that you have a gift and that you have something to do with that gift, you will begin to get up and explore, what does it mean for me to be gifted? Paul looks at the people of Corinth and said they were becoming fractured. They were tearing themselves apart because some people were coming early to church and eating all of the food because they felt more entitled to those that would come afterwards. He said, no, you all are gifted. You all have a place within the body. Do you accept for yourself this morning that I am gifted? That you are part of, if you will, the Christian gifted program. We all have been given something by God in Christ. But for what purpose? What are we supposed to do with it? We have been gifted, everybody has been gifted in order for the common good, for the benefit of everybody else, to join your peace with everything else that's going on. As a matter of fact, Paul later on uses an analogy that we are both an army, we're a team, and if you will, we are an orchestra. And I wanted to use that imagery with you for a moment, to use that as a metaphor for us to think through what Paul is talking about here. Imagine when I was going through high school, there was a time when you were making the transition sort of from middle school or from elementary school to high school, that there would be a time where you would start thinking about playing in the band. And they would come and different people would come from the high school and they would lay out all of these instruments. And you were able to go around and try each instrument and find out what really kind of you tended to gravitate towards. And then once you kind of gravitated towards that, if that was something that you wanted to do, you started to take lessons at school to develop that gift and that talent. For me, when I was going through high school, I learned to play the drums. Okay, the snare drums for marching band. I know, strange as that may seem. But we started to learn, and as we went through high school, you constantly were taking lessons to develop that. But we never had a program that just played or had a concert just of the snare drums. It's just very boring just to play the snare drums. Because the snare drums was always created to provide rhythm for an entire orchestra. The snare drum all by itself has little value just to get up and play it all by itself. But when it connects with other instruments, it makes everything come into a rhythm and it allows everybody else to be coordinated. And so it has a vital part in a larger sense. And so it is with your gift. You may look at whatever it is, whether it's encouraging, whether it's serving, whether it's doing something, and you say, but by itself, it just doesn't seem like much. But it provides rhythm and it provides structure for whatever else is happening within the body. There's a couple of things that we have to own up to when we think about our giftedness. First of all, you have to be able to say, do you have a talent? God has given you a talent. Think about picking up an instrument. When you joined a church, you said, I'm going to pick up an instrument. I want to be a part of, if you will, this orchestra, this beautiful mosaic of orchestra of sound and work and life and faith that we come together. I'm going to pick up my part. I don't know how to play it real well, but I'm going to begin to learn how to use it. You have to realize that you have a part to play, that you can't just be a bump on the log. The second thing that you have to realize is that you have a role within the larger body. We all need to have that snare drum, if you will. We need that rhythm. We need that structure. Even though it may be in the background and may not even be noticeable, we need that structure so that everybody else can flourish. What Paul is saying, if everybody was an eye, where would hearing be? Where would the rest of life be? If everybody were a snare drum, where would the music be? If everybody were a flute or a clarinet, where would the music be? Where would the orchestra be? But if we have a talent and we're willing to join them together with other people, even sacrificing a little bit of our own showmanship, that we don't always have solos, but that we're able to partner with other people, think about all of the beautiful music that comes from beautiful orchestras, from violins and cellos and oboes, and all coming in at the right time, in the right rhythm, under the right direction. And think about the beautiful music that is flourishing. That's Paul's vision. Paul is saying it's more than just the sum of the parts. It's synergistic. It's more than just what we do individually. It's about what we're doing together. You know, I can't help but think about what Chris is talking about down in the clothes closet. How many people, and I'm not, this is a rhetorical question, people brought bags of clothes and they were just dumped down there. And we were scratching our heads. What are we going to do with this mountain of clothes? How are we ever going to sort through this? And yet, in the background, God had a plan. I'm going to take all of these individual people who are going to bring individual bags of clothes or shoes, because I'm going to need that later on. And all of those little individual gifts, independently, down in that room, I'm going to use at its right time and its right place. It's synergistic. When you give your gift, your time, and your talent, it flourishes. But imagine for a moment what Paul is talking about in the Corinthian church. Imagine if in the midst of a great orchestra, a great march, or a great concert, the snare drum said, "I've had it with these people. They don't pay enough attention to me. I quit." And all of the percussion and all of the rhythm says, "That's it. I'm done. I'm walking out." What happens? Well, everybody else in the concert's looking around going, "Now what do we do? When do we come in?" Paul is saying, you have a special key role. Whatever that is, it is critical because it draws us together. Your talent doesn't separate you, it draws you together. So let's think this through. Paul says, everyone is gifted. Everyone is gifted for the common good in order to express the kingdom of God. You see, in our world, in our lives, if you are gifted, if you are talented, we separate you out. We draw you out and we make a celebrity of you. We want to showcase your talent and how your talent is different from everybody else's. What Paul is saying is, if you have a talent, and you do, it's not to draw you out or to showcase you, but to showcase the kingdom of God, of how that gift and that talent can be applied to the welfare of everybody else. What the kingdom of God is really like, of all of these gifts, these individual talents, all of the time and talents and resources that you have, how they can come together to be an orchestra of grace and mercy and forgiveness. So I need you to think through for a while, just in your own mind, what kind of orchestra are you a part of? Do you love to go solo? I love for people to just look at what I'm doing and how wonderful I am. Or are you willing to take that gift, recognize that God has blessed you, and say, I'm going to share that. It may be in the quiet, it may be a snare drum in the back, but I'm providing structure and rhythm. Or maybe you're out in front, you're serving a breakfast, or you're helping with the clothes closet, or you're doing something at the hospitals, you're doing some visitations, you're going out, you're meeting people, you're making a blessing in their lives. What is your gift and what is your talent? What is it that God is calling you to do? When we express what the kingdom of God is all about, we are here to inspire the lives of others, to carry their burdens, to fill empty hearts with a generous portion of love. When we do that, when we use our gifts and talents, then we are truly becoming the body of Christ. That's our example. I heard a couple of weeks ago there was an anniversary for D-Day. And during D-Day, I was watching one of these History Channel specials, and it was showing about, you know, we often think about everybody rushing on the beach and about how hard that was and about what they did to climb the walls. But it also went through about the incredible amount of logistics that went on behind the scenes, about how many crafts had to be prepared, about the logistics of once they were on the beach, how to get them supplied with all of the resources, how to get everything coordinated. And it was saying so often we think about the men that jumped onto to the beach in Normandy. He said, but don't you realize the amount of incredible work that happened in the background? Paul is talking to the Corinthians about coming together, about being one body, recognizing that God has called them by the gospel, by the good news, gifted them to make some beautiful music and to be the body of Christ. And yet they were struggling because they didn't understand that it was meant to draw them together and not fracture and separate them. We have that to celebrate as a body of Christ, to lift up what God is doing by giving our gifts and our talents, to say, I am gifted. I do have an instrument of grace and peace that I'm going to contribute with others and change the world. How does that feel? I'm just kind of curious. How does that feel for you that your mission from God is to change the world? Change your world. That's what we're all about. Until the time that he calls us back home to live with him, or he returns to claim this earth as his own, we are here to change the world, create beautiful music, create an environment of healing and reconciliation and of peace. The question is whether you want to be a part of that band or not. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for your grace and your mercy and your peace. It draws the very best out of us. And I thank you for these men and women that have come here today to offer their lives to you, to cherish who you are, and especially to join with you, to partner with you, and change the world. In Jesus' name, amen.